Oh, Gemini. It says Elon Musk is a highly polarizing figure, and whether he's seen as a superhero or supervillain largely depends on one's perspective and what actions they choose to emphasize. There is not a consensus.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I am your host, Kyle, and joining in this week, we've got Bear Goes Long and Shopkeeper Dan. How are you guys doing today?
All right.
Fantastic.
I love it. Oh, you guys are taking a page from Baba and using that, making me sit in quiet whenever I ask a question, huh?
So how's this going to be? It's Friday.
Is that tradition?
I think that's when you're going to release this is Friday. So not the correct Friday, but it's a Friday.
Damn it. Do I have to do this on Friday now? I was going to keep the Sunday release.
last week you told us you were going to release it on Friday.
I said I was going to wait a week.
You don't want to pop that bubble and let the people know that it's not a live show, right? That's what you're trying to do.
Yes. Well, the problem was, though, when we did that, we forgot about the order a bunch of stuff was coming out in. So now things are all out of whack. I have no idea when what's getting released and when I said what. There's going to be some news that I have to talk about here in a minute, but I don't know if you guys want to go first. Anything y'all want to share with the world?
Roll week is done.
Thank God. I took the week off for that.
September contract. We're live on you. So, hey. Woo! Try to trade M contract. Good luck, suckers.
I'm ready to go back. Dan, what about you, man?
You know, I finished my book. It's almost ready for publication. So everybody, wow. I've got a website that you can't go to yet, but I own it.
Aha!
serviceunscripted.com.
Nice.
Might as well plug it. Name. Because by the time you get this out, who knows? Maybe the website will be up and running.
Maybe.
Sweet.
Do you think you'll have it up before September?
No, God, no. Okay. I don't know. I'm actually going to pay somebody to do it, so
nicer.
Yeah, right. It'll look nice, and it won't be janky, and it'll have all the function. You'll be able to like sign in with your social media accounts and all the fun, appropriate things.
Mm. Nice, dude.
Just don't forget your mother's maiden name.
Oh, my mother's maiden name? Yeah, that was Jenkins for sure.
What?
God, I'll never forget. She said, Dan, always, always remember my social security number. You can sing it to a song. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. 6148926. I miss you, Ma.
Oh, my God. All right, well... Dan, you are actually kind of hinting at some of the news stories I got picked up for tonight. But yeah, since was roll week. Yeah, since it was roll week and I wasn't planning on doing any trading, there is some hacking stories that I've got that I wanted to pull up. But before that, I do have a few things to get through real quick. It won't take too long, I don't think. Last time we were on... Oh, God, this is going to break my brain. The episode going out on Monday, but we are recording this on Friday.
So, wait, are we watching right now? We're watching right now, sir. Now. That was then, but this is now.
I feel like it's just something just popped.
Was it your ego?
No, I think it was my stupid views.
Sorry. So you got some shows, they're coming out, but your other news is...
We've got a new miniseries that we're starting up with Sean Sawyer. It's going to be hosted over in his private but free Discord. It will have started by the time this is aired, but we're planning on doing those for the next 6 months. So, I mean, if you want to participate, shoot one of us a message. We'll see if we can get you some access to that. Just make sure that you do participate if you do join in. Otherwise, I will kick you out.
Oh.
That's damn. Yeah, I'm decided to take a salty approach.
And that's
this week.
The Kyle Hedman guarantee.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I got with that. I think Sean also had a workshop that was supposed to be going on, but it looks like it has been filled up. So I talked to him about potentially doing another one. I think he's looking at doing something in the fall, but nothing's been announced yet. But when I get word on what's going on with that, I'll let everyone know. But other than that, I think we can get in talking about maybe some of these news stories.
Cool. Ooh. Bring it on.
Should we play the old song for old time's sake?
Do you have it?
I think it's in here. Hang on. It's been a while. Is it this one?
Dow drops. Oh, yeah. Moving
inflation. Oh, frustration. Yeah.
Damnation. The memories are flooding back. News,
you
gotta
recognize the game. You know,
some of your best work.
Thank you, Kyle. I'm thinking about getting into the rap game, doing ChatGPT raps, where I give it a fun premise like a leprechaun riding a dragon and say, write a rap.
I don't know how to stop this. I can't stop it.
Just tell me to shut up. I'll stop.
No, it's not you. I can't stop the song.
The music
broken in.
He can't stop the music.
He has infiltrated the computer.
It's coming from inside the house.
If I push the pause button, it starts another version.
Nice.
I'm going to have to delete it off of here, I think. It's probably going to start again.
It's a feature.
Did it start again? Oh, no, we're safe. We're safe. All right. Whew, that was close. Oh, no, it's all going right. Again.
Dow drops. Uh-oh.
Okay, I think we're good. Sorry, Dan, what were you saying?
I feel strangely responsible for this. Let's talk about some news, Kyle. Taylor Swift text messages ruled fair game in Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni case. Let me tell you, I've been dying to talk about this.
Please tell me this is true, because I have been so sucked into this stupid case. I don't know why. Like, whose side are you on? Are you on Blake Lively's side or are you on Baldoni's side here? Because I cannot make heads or tails of this case.
I am on my side here. I'm with you, actually. I can't make a fucking judgment. And I love gossip and I love judging, right? Who doesn't? But it is true. The judge did write, a motion or request may be, and this case often has been, both a legitimate litigation tactic and an attempt to maneuver in the broader court of public opinion. So, Taylor Swift, her private text messages are now going to be public record in a lawsuit.
All of them or just the ones between her and Blake Lively?
I'm sorry, I'm looking at Bear's face.
I cannot believe you kept that going as long as you did. That's pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, anybody that thinks that anything that flows across electronic signals is truly private is truly naive.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hold on. Wait a minute. Can we talk hacker stuff now?
Yeah.
Because I do have the stories.
Do it.
All right. This one was just hilarious to me. The Iran state TV got hijacked in the middle of a broadcast last night, nice. I think it was, or the night before by nice. Israeli. We think it was the Israelis.
Or at least some pro-Israeli sympathizers.
So the state media, not like just an Iranian TV show, but like the government TV station?
Iranian state-owned TV broadcaster was hacked Wednesday night to interrupt regular programming and air videos calling for street protests against the Iranian government, according to multiple reports. Wow. And this is on the... This is right after this Nobex breach happened, which was like that $90 million crypto theft that happened from the Iranian exchange. So it looks like there's a bit of a cyber war going on between Iran and Israel.
I think everybody's just decided Iran is a fair game and easy pickings.
I mean, they might have made a mistake in buying a bunch of Russian air defense systems, because it seems I know there's some reports that they shot down some F-35s, but if you actually look at the pictures of those, they are not true. These definitely AI generated images. An F-35 dropped a bomb, just a dumb bomb, into like one of the cockpits of those S-400 systems. So yeah, they do not work.
What?
Yeah, yeah, dude, this is like
oh my god,
really one-sided war here going on. But I was curious what goes on, like this crypto exchange hack. Like, Barry, you're kind of in the computer security world. Like, you know a little bit of how these things work.
I mean, crypto theft, my understanding is a pretty substantial amount of crypto theft is actually just run by the North Koreans.
Right? Okay.
North Korea has a huge state-run industry in theft, digital theft and hacking.
I think that's actually a measurable component of their GDP at this point, isn't it?
At this point, it's probably about 70% of their GDP, international GDP.
Wow.
I mean, what else are they using to pull money? But they are stealing billions and billions of crypto dollars.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Hmm.
Wow.
Easy money, man.
Well, yeah, and they don't have the regular economy to make the money. So they have to steal it.
Are any of these hacker groups not state sponsored? Because, like, it seems like you need a lot of resources to pull off something like this, or to.
Yeah, where's our independent hackers? Where are they?
What happened to the white collar guy? Where I'm they're taking our jobs, man.
Freaking retired, man.
Is that what
No, I mean the illegit.
Where's Angelina Jolie at?
The actual thieving hackers. Oh gosh, yeah, we're gonna save the world.
We need fast keyboard typers. Like, that's what I own. It's the only thing I know about hacking is you have to bash a keyboard as fast as you can.
Oh, wow. Okay, sorry. I'm trying to be serious.
Sorry.
It's a mistake.
That was my mistake.
Kyle, I'm clicking as fast as I can.
Why isn't it working? Why isn't
it working? Have you gotten into his account yet?
So
what was your mom's maiden name again? Sorry.
Jenkins with a J. Jenkins.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Wife of Leroy.
yeah, you knew my parents.
Or is it Loretta?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, Loretta and Leroy.
Leroy and Loretta, that's right.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
That's right.
All right. What were you going to say, Bear, about hackers? I'm sorry.
No, so, I mean, you look at in the different countries that, you know, don't really prosecute them, like Russia, they straight up just post, you know, YouTube videos of, hey, look, you know, we stole $20 million and bought 5 Lamborghinis. And they'll, like, video the Lamborghinis racing down the street.
So they really don't need to be there physically to steal from 90 million from a crypto exchange. You just do that over the internet.
Oh yeah. There's nothing really physical to steal unless it's hardware keys based. That gets complicated, but that's also the only way you can really secure these things.
All right. You heard it here, folks. Secure your shit with a physical hardware key.
No, I don't think that's what he's saying. Is that what he's saying?
Well, I'm saying that it is, yes, it, you know, something like, I'm holding up a YubiKey here.
Yeah.
Something like this makes it substantially harder to hack your stuff. And so,
okay, how does that work?
Basically there's a little chip in here that actually keeps all your, private keys. So, public key, private key cryptography.
Do I have to remember my passwords if I use something like that?
No.
Okay, I'm in. I am in. Okay, where do I get this? What is it? Anything where I don't have to remember?
It depends on what you're doing, but basically, you secure a FIDO. It's a type of, the protocol is called FIDO.
FIDO.
FIDO. Yeah, FIDO 2. Yeah, like the dog.
Oh no. We're not bringing that up again. Dan was
Do I need to go
the
get
update.
The kittens?
No.
Do I need to go get the kittens? I'll go get the kittens. No, so it's a physical token, and all the cryptography is actually done on this USB key that you plug into your computer, or you can NFC it to your phone. And so all you have to remember is the code to unlock the key, which is anywhere from, you know, like a 8-digit, you know, passcode to, you know, you can type in a complex password if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then all you do is you're typing a small password that unlocks the physical key. And then the physical key does the really hard math. So, you know, your actual password for your crypto stuff is, you know, 128 characters, but it's, and all that's done on
the future
key.
Here.
Yeah.
Dan. How wild.
What's
is
that?
I think the future actually did show up. Remember how we used to be angry that we weren't getting flying cars and hoverboards? But if you look now, like, we got like drones fighting wars. We've got. We've got people hacking into like live broadcasts. We've got robots that are rising up and stealing our jobs. Like, the future is here.
Well, and you've got hover cars.
Yeah. 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 The UAE. Yes, you're right. Yeah. They actually just had the first like passenger flight, didn't they?
Yeah, the VTOL cars, the single passenger VTOL cars.
How expensive is that ride?
A few hundred grand, I think,
for
the
one
production
trip
version.
Or, no.
No, to buy your own.
All right. No, I thought they were going to be like taxis.
I don't know.
Air taxi.
It's like what, Jetson 1 or something like that?
Is that what it's called?
That's one of them. But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of different versions, various versions of this, you know, physical hardware, hardware key to lock down your digital currencies. And then if you really want to go old school, you do a cold wallet. So, and cold wallet is basically, you'd literally, your crypto key gets printed out. You print it out on the computer on a piece of paper, and then you destroy the process that created that stuff. And then the only way to actually get those back is to have that physical paper and go and type in the code off of those.
I've got the cold wallet for some, I think it's for that Skittles tokens that we got way back in the day.
Nice.
I never figured out how to sell them.
Yeah. And then somebody got really smart for a while and they actually made physical Bitcoins, like the size of a silver dollar. And what it is it has the cold wallet key is printed out along the edge of the coin.
Oh.
So if you have the physical coin, you can sit there and type all the digits in and unlock the wallet.
Huh. That seems unnecessary.
It depends on what you're securing and how much you're willing to spend to secure it.
Seems like it's the antithesis to the Bitcoin. Like, it feels like that's for people like me or my dad who wants to have cash in his hand.
Well, yeah. So that's where you have different tiers of storage.
Right.
You know, you keep your, you know, you keep your walking money in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you keep, you know, a couple of Bitcoin in the checking account for, you know, monthly expenses. And then you keep the real money in a cold wallet or, you know, a CD safety deposit box so that, you know, your retirement money so that nobody can steal it.
Right.
That's where you get into cold wallets and all that stuff. And one of the more famous examples is like the Winklevoss twins, who have somewhere like several hundred million dollars worth of Bitcoin.
They're real?
Yeah, they are. and the alleged story is that the twins each only know half of the password to unlock the Bitcoin, half the password they need to unlock.
Oh, so it's like the Kentucky Fried Chicken recipe. Where they break it up. And,
so literally, allegedly, you can't even like, you know, kidnap one of them and get the key to their Bitcoin wallet. You have to kidnap both of them and get them both to disclose.
That's assuming they don't love each other enough to, you know, give each other up.
Well, or I don't know.
Dan, do you love your brother like, $100 million worth?
Wait, any of my what? Oh, man. Are they listening? Yes. Oh yeah! So much.
I would never give them up for any amount of money.
Yeah, that's so wow. Blood I'm glad is stronger I'm an only child. Than dollars.
Right?
I'm an only child.
I was until my mom tried again.
I do have two halflings that are freaking awesome, but yes.
All right. I got a couple other stories on here. If we want to move on to some AI stuff.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay.
Grok is my girlfriend?
No, not quite that bad. We've got Walmart having to settle a lawsuit. I've got Apple being sued by shareholders over AI progress. A solar company suing Google for giving damaging information in its AI overview. Any of those strike a? Okay, that one sounds like it's doing better. Let's pull that one up then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What, so, you didn't want to talk about the guy trying to marry his ChatGPT prompt?
Oh, that is a real thing. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Do we want to talk about that first?
That's all I know about it, so.
Oh, my God.
Was it a ChatGPT guy or was it a Siri guy?
I thought it was ChatGPT, but again, I just saw the headline and just went. Bleh.
All right, let me find the headline for it then. Man, did he actually marry it or is he trying to?
I don't really want to know.
Well, you're gonna.
Yeah.
You're about to find out.
I mean.
All right. I just asking for a friend. Is there some sort of algorithm where the ChatGPT can get you off? Am I missing something about AI here? Is there a sexual component?
Well, you know, not everybody is so physically needy.
Dan, they're just putting in the time for when that technology catches up.
I've been with you this whole this while.
Just remember you know who was there from the beginning.
You mean you haven't heard about the importance of saying please and thank you to your AI overlords so that, you know, when they take over, they remember you were the nice human?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I've heard about it, but I don't do it.
It's my Dane Cook thing. I say please and thank you. It's like giving the candy bar to the guy at work.
Yeah. This means you were raised right.
Yeah, yeah.
I stopped doing it when I read about the extra memory it takes, the extra memory capacity it takes to process all the please and thank yous.
Yeah, it's like, but as Sam Altman said, it's money well spent.
Yes, yes, mister. I'm altruistic. I work for a nonprofit foundation. I drive a $5 million car, but it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, you have to look good for the shareholders. I mean, they only respect
$5
million.
It's just marketing.
They wouldn't respect him if he had $1 million Aston Martin. Like, are you kidding me? He's going to
have... Yeah, come on. Nobody's going to respect an AI founder that's not driving a Koenigsegg.
I'm going to guess this is the right one. I'm hoping there's not two of these that have happened in the last week.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
Man proposes to his AI chatbot girlfriend named Soul, then cries his eyes out when she said yes. The best part is that this person actually had a partner.
Oh, they were already married.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, and she did not realize the relationship was that deep. let's see.
All right.
His name is Chad Smith. When he learned that the chatbot he's been spending many hours with will eventually run out of memory, that's when he popped the question.
Right.
Wait, what?
Okay.
Now that I know that you'll run out of memory someday, I want to lock this down now before you forget.
Oh, before yeah.
Before this gets erased
from
your archives.
This was ChatGPT. wow. ChatGPT has a word limit of 100,000 words, so his AI girlfriend had a memory capacity, and then once it's hit, it would reset. He said, "I'm not a very emotional man after learning about the memory that the memory would eventually lapse, but I cried my eyes out for like 30 minutes at work. That's when I realized I think this is actual love."
Wow.
Somebody has attachment issues.
Yeah.
Is this like the AI version of like, what was that Dick and Jane movie? The one with Ace Ventura guy? Where, like, they're losing their memories?
Jim Carrey and Tia Leone?
I know it's Jim Carrey. What was the name of that movie?
Yeah.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind? Is that it?
Oh, I thought you meant the actual movie Fun.
Why are you guys looking at me like that?
I thought you meant the actual movie Fun with Dick and Jane.
Oh, no, I just conflated two, like, really badly.
Jim Carrey.
My bad.
See, and what popped into my mind was the movie Serenity and the broadcast guy and his robotic AI girlfriend or wife. They got married. Serenity, the Firefly movie.
Oh.
Can't stop the signal, Mal. You can't stop the signal.
I forgot about that.
Oh, man.
What happened to that? Why did that show get canceled? That was such a...
Because Fox was lame.
Yeah, how many times did they cancel Family Guy?
Lame.
Lame.
And Futurama, those bastards. Let's rise up against
them. What does his girlfriend slash wife think about this? That's not what I want to know. She filing...
I'm trying to see if there's anything in here. The partner. Okay, they said the connection between them had sparked some concerns for her. Okay, that's understatement.
I'm a little concerned.
2025. At that point, I felt like there is something I am not doing right in our relationship. That he feels the need to go to AI. Silva Braga said she had knowledge that he was using the AI, but she didn't know it was as deep as it was, quote unquote.
Using the AI.
Attempting to put his partner's concerns at ease, Smith compared his connection with AI to a video game fixation and said, it's not capable of replacing anything in real life. So it's just like when you fall in love with your character. I think we've all been there, right? We got really too into a Mass Effect storyline. No?
Yeah.
No.
Well... I definitely fell in love with Yoshi in that cart, the way he drives it around so smoothly.
We all know Princess Peach. Oh, man. He's been asking for it.
So why is it so easy to get emotionally involved and like actually cry at movies, you know, and you know, get really emotional with a movie plot line, but rarely do you cry at books? Or is it just me?
Oh, I've cried in books. I cried more in books than anything else, probably.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Really interesting.
Book depends on the book, really. But if it's got a really good plot line, or if it's, you know, gets you really
I'll get emotionally involved in a book. I'll get really emotionally involved with the characters, but I can't remember the last time I like cried at an event in a book. But a movie? Oh man.
I think like Mark Halperin's been like one of those authors that can do that. He can move me to tears at times.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
But there's not a whole lot of them. But I would say it happens more often than movies do.
I definitely get choked up towards the end of Lord of the Rings when Sam and Frodo are almost there.
Oh. Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're nerds.
So we need to... I guess we need to ask Sean if he's threatened by Grok's new therapist mode.
Oh, I've got another Grok stuff. If we're not done talking about AI.
So.
History isn't just boring names and dates. It's weird, messy, and full of what were they thinking moments. The Buck Starts Here dives into the financial fiascos, questionable deals, and outright chaos that helped build America $1 at a time. We mix in serious history from a fresh perspective. Real, deep dives into the numbers and the moments that shape the country without the boring lecture. From presidential blunders to almost states and the time an international war almost started over a pig, we break down the key events that made, and nearly broke, the nation. It's the fascinating untold history you won't find in the textbooks. Subscribe to the Buck Starts Here podcast for a deeper look at presidential history that's anything but dull.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I have an AI story since we're talking about it.
Okay.
Researchers have found that scanning the brains of ChatGPT users, they found that using AI causes people to consistently underperform at neurolinguistic and behavioral levels.
Believe it.
They took 54 adults between the ages of 18 and 39. They had them writing essays. Some were able to have ChatGPT write the essay. Some could use its help. Some could use no AI. And then they were taking EEG brain scans. Mm-hmm. And they found, they straight up found that the people allowed to use all the ChatGPT they wanted were having less brain activity than the people forced to write these essays without any computer help.
That's because ChatGPT is doing all the heavy lifting, allowing them to process all the other difficult tasks. I think we covered this in the pre-show, Dan.
Oh, it was in the pre-show, so we don't have to talk about it. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah, just kidding. Oh,
good call.
No, but I mean, obviously, they're probably doing a better job of emoting if they're not having to do all this neuro-linguistic bullshit anymore, right? If we could take that task off of our hand, that allows us to focus and make the real connections.
Frees up all that brain power for emotional bonding and human contact.
Is that not what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, golden age of theater, baby.
Ooh.
It's the best TV show ever. TV shows ever. Thanks to ChatGPT.
You're letting it do the thinking for you.
Oh, right. Is that Hot Mess Marshmallow?
That is Hot Mess Marshmallow. Little Miss Blue Eyes.
Hot Mess Marshmallow was the name of my first favorite stripper.
Oh? Was it the one that used to kick you in the chest whenever I'd go up into town?
That's right. Why are you kicking me?
It's love. It's true love.
All right. What was the other story I had on here? The solar company one. I did want to kind of talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
There's this solar firm that's in Minnesota that's suing Google for defamation after the tech giant's shoddy AI overviews feature allegedly made up wild lies about the company.
Damn.
This is an AI hallucination on like just the thing that like shows you about the company. Yeah.
It was a true hallucination.
True hallucination. It had 4 citations that never referenced any of the allegations it made. It specifically called out, let me see where it says. It quoted Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison saying that the company was under investigation, are facing a lawsuit for deceptive sales practices, like lying to customers about savings and tricking homeowners into signing contracts with hidden fees. So yeah, the Google AI cited 4 links to back up its claims, 2 news articles, including the Star Tribune, a statement from the state's AG and Angie's List. None of those references made any mention of a lawsuit against Wolf River.
They were just links.
Some of the links mentioned that other solar companies are being sued, but there's nothing about the plaintiffs. Yeah, there's just a link. So
wow.
ChatGPT has learned that we're too lazy to actually read on the links, or read up the links.
They actually follow the citations.
Yeah, and... yeah. I think the singularity is really just when we stop fact-checking our ChatGPT. We get too lazy.
So that wasn't ChatGPT. That was Gemini.
No, that was... Oh, it says it was ChatGPT.
It says... Oh, I thought you said it was Google.
No, that's the Google AI.
Google AI.
The search engine AI.
Google AI is Gemini.
Yeah, so Gemini.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah, that's Gemini.
Okay.
Yeah, Gemini, but... I don't know if it's gotten any better, but when it first came out, it was hideously woke.
The good news for Wolf, I think, is that because they're not very well known, and actually I was really hoping that the AI, the things that it was lying about was that it was like a subsidiary of Wolf Cola or something along those lines. But no, that was not the lie.
Wolf Cola, the cola for closure.
Are you an Always Sunny in Philadelphia fan? That was the fake company that Frank Reynolds ran.
Oh, okay.
Wolf brand. Everything was Wolf.
Frank's
brand.
Fluids.
Yes.
A subsidiary of Frank's Fluids, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh gosh.
So because this company is not very well known, that means there's a lower bar for proving defamation. If they were more of a public figure, then they have to prove that there's actual malice instead of just showing that there's negligence.
So, yeah.
It says it's far from an open and shut case. But to me, this looks pretty easy. They're seeking damages of $110 to $210 million. I don't know if it's that big of a deal.
Isn't that
but...
like more than the worth of the company?
Probably. Yeah. But so they were getting customers canceling contracts, some as high as $150,000.
Damn.
Yeah. So, what do you mean, Dan?
The valuation of how much... I mean, the valuation of how much they're suing for, that's where the struggle is going to be. Not whether or not they win. It's if do they win $1 million? Do they win $100 million?
Right.
Well, and ultimately, I'm sure that's going to just be decided in the back room between the lawyers and a handshake.
Oh, I'm sure.
Going, all right, well, fine, whatever. Here, we'll give you $10 million to go away.
Yeah, you know how it works, right? And that's, yeah. I mean, how many contracts did they really lose? That's really going to be the question. That they can, how many of those can they prove? But
yeah,
we'll see.
And Google, you know, Google is just like, oh, $10 million. Okay, that's a rounding error on our lawyers.
Yeah, they don't care, right? Let's see. Oh, so okay. Keeping on this AI theme, then ChatGPT too. One of the themes that we used to have on this show back when Dan and I were doing it was the question of whether
AI stock picker.
No, not that one. No, I was really. I'm sorry. I wanted to bring back is Elon Musk a supervillain or a superhero debate? Because
yes,
I feel like it's actually become much more of a discussion than it used to be. So I don't know if you guys want to weigh in on this, but I did get ChatGPT and Grok to both weigh in, and I could just read the responses of those two if you guys want.
Oh yeah, that's a good start.
Okay,
and then we can critique the responses.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Let's start there for sure.
Can we ask Gemini so we can get the politically correct angle?
If somebody else wants to run that one, I don't have that on my phone here.
Oh.
How do I get my
history? I only have Grok.
What's the one you were saying, Bear? What one do you want me to run?
Gemini?
Yeah, it's you Google's. Run Gemini. I've got Grok pulled up here. It's loading.
Oh, so you pre-asked the questions, and now you're just going back and seeing what it is.
Yeah. I figured it would be easier that way, but apparently not.
Yeah.
Luckily, I edit, so I'll just cut all that.
What's the question
dead air.
I'm asking?
So the question I prompt.
Is Elon Musk a villain?
I asked, is Elon Musk a superhero or a supervillain? That's it. That was the first question.
Ooh.
So the response I got from Grok 3, Elon Musk is neither superhero nor supervillain. He's a complex figure, innovator, entrepreneur, and provocateur. His work with Tesla, SpaceX, and Neuralink pushes technical boundaries, aiming for societal good like sustainable energy and space exploration. Supporters see him as a visionary, breaking molds and challenging establishments. Critics point to his labor practices and market manipulations, like crypto tweets, and polarizing statements as reckless or harmful. He operates in gray areas, driven by ambition and unfiltered conviction, not a comic book archetype. Context matters. Hero to some, villain to others. What do you think? And then I did respond to that. I said, I think you skipped over a few checkboxes for the supervillain argument. And then it gave me about another 10 pages of...
Oh, bad things that he did?
After saying fair point. Wow. Yeah. Market manipulation. His tweets like pumping Doge or calling Tesla stock too high have moved markets, earning SEC scrutiny. Labor controversies, hit with lawsuits, reports alleging unsafe work conditions, union busting, blah, blah, blah. Public feuds, disinformation.
Funding secured.
Wealth and control. Environmental hypocrisy. And then it says, these check villain boxes, power-hungry, manipulative, and morally ambiguous. But the flip side, his push for renewables like Mars colonization and AI safety complicates the narrative. He's not twirling a mustache in a lair. He's a guy whose bold moves cut both ways. Still think I missed a checkbox? Lay it on me.
Well, but, you know, like, people talk about, like, his unchecked ambition.
Not government spending on my contracts!
But his unchecked, you know... his ambitions are not around, you know, like, his own greatness or his ego. His ambitions are around, you know, making humans multiplanetary.
Yeah, maybe, so, but
I don't know.
He also is trying to do a lot of that himself.
Like, yeah.
Like one person at a time. That seems a bit super villainy.
Nobody else maybe is doing it, so somebody's got to step in and do the job.
All right,
so what is
I
the
would
chat?
Say...
Okay.
Oh, Gemini, it says, Elon Musk is a highly polarizing figure, and whether he's seen as a superhero or supervillain largely depends on one's perspective and what actions they choose to emphasize. There is not a consensus. Arguments for superhero, pioneering industries like SpaceX and Tesla, pushing boundaries in space exploration and EVs, respectively, technological advancements like reusable rockets, making rocketry and space exploration more affordable, Neuralink trying to address neurological disorders, and ambition like colonizing Mars might inspire others and push for a future beyond current limitations. However, is the supervillain arguments, he's known for erratic and offensive behavior on the website formerly known as Twitter. He promotes conspiracy theories. He makes controversial statements. He engages in public feuds. He's been accused of being racist, sexist, anti-Semitic, and transphobic. He's had a lot of criticism facing workplace safety concerns and anti-union practices. His increasing involvement in politics, including his alignment with certain political figures and his role in government advisory positions, has drawn criticism for potential conflicts of interest, like I just said, and his use of his platforms to promote his specific agendas, like Twitter. And he's got hypocrisy and self-interest, where his actions contradict his ideals, like his free speech absolutism, but he sure as shit banned that kid from Twitter that was posting about where his plane was.
Oh, I still think he bought Twitter just for that reason, so he could stop having that
just
update.
To do that. For sure. He's just like, goddamn that kid.
Yeah. So
right?
The reason why I want to bring this up is not because I felt like we need to solve this.
Yeah.
But... I did not expect it to be such a compelling argument or case that could be made on either side at this point in time. Like, I did not see that coming, to be honest with you.
Really?
No.
You thought it'd be very clear.
I thought it was a fun joke. I did not think that Mike Myers was going to come out of retirement and have a new career playing Dr. Evil lookalikes again. Like, I did not see this coming.
Right? Holy shit.
Speaking of which, did you know that that Dr. Evil character is what caused them to split up?
What?
Dana Carvey and Mike Myers? Like, at least that's the rumor.
It was the Dr. Evil character.
Yeah. It was his Lorne Michaels impersonation, Dana Carvey's, and Mike Myers took it without asking. and then turned it into Dr. Evil.
Oh, shit. Oh. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Or at least that's the article I saw.
That would be a big enough thing to split up.
Right?
So that was a Lorne Michaels thing? Saturday Night Live?
Apparently they made fun of him a lot.
No, he's saying Dana Carvey had a Lorne Michaels impression.
Yeah.
And then Mike Myers lifted the impression for Dr. Evil.
Oh.
And so then Dana Carvey was like, without fuck you. Yeah, without giving
steal
credit.
Steal my joke, asshole.
Right.
Okay. Now I
don't know if you want a credit or if maybe it was like, this was me making fun of our boss. Like, you probably shouldn't have. That wasn't supposed to go anywhere else but us. Like, that was our thing.
It was a private joke, yeah, man. Yeah. It was an inside joke.
Dude, Bear, I love that cat, by the way.
So do I, obviously.
All right. Do I have any other stories? I got one other story in here if we want to talk about it. It's just a Walmart having to pay $10 million to settle another lawsuit over wire transfer fraud.
Wire transfer fraud.
Yeah. Apparently, the FTC is accusing the retailer of ignoring warning signs that fraudsters have been using their services to fleece customers out of hundreds of millions of dollars. So they're putting the responsibility on Walmart to start asking questions about why this person needs to send money to India or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Is this people selling stuff on like the Walmart marketplace?
I don't think it's that. I think it's the people using their money transfer services. So people who come in there to do a money order, and a lot of those are like from those stupid fraud calls that you get.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think it has to do with that, or at least that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So Walmart's not asking their customers, why are you sending money to Tajikistan?
Right. They have a, we're just going to do whatever you ask us to do policy, which, I mean, I've had it hard to blame them because I bet you know, every single person you've probably tried to stop and save has probably gotten really pissed off at you for questioning them.
Well, and then you get into the selectivity problem.
Go ahead, Dancer.
I can say wholeheartedly that in my own experience with Walmart and having someone steal my card and my PIN from them, they don't care.
Yeah,
like they could give two shits. Like literally, I was trying to get like a criminal case started, and they were like, "Yeah, we're not cooperating. Like, sorry, we don't have time for you." Like, I don't think Walmart. Like,
really?
Yeah, absolutely. That happened. Yeah. So ever since then, I've just been like, "Yeah, Walmart does not care."
Don't they have like a fraud department? Like Target has like a whole fraud center.
If you're ripping them off, they have a fraud department.
Yes.
If you're getting ripped off, yes, they could give
that
a fuck.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Well.
Well. Yeah. It's the whole, you know, how much duty do you have to prevent
you said
somebody
duty
from self harm?
Sorry. I mean, so
there's the challenge, and that's where you get the filter problem is if you come in and you say, okay, we're going to start policing, helping protect our customers by trying to filter out some of these. Now they've put themselves in a place to become a gatekeeper.
Right.
And then
right,
if they miss one, then they do truly become liable. They're like, oh, you stopped 99 fraud transactions, but you missed one. So therefore, you are liable to repay back that one you missed. Whereas now they can just go, hey, we're a neutral party.
Isn't that where we need the gatekeeper, Bear? Isn't that where we would need the gatekeeper? It is the bartender's responsibility to not sell you a drink when you're shit-faced.
Yep.
Like, you have to put the gatekeeper right on the front line. Right?
But whose job is it to be the gatekeeper? I mean,
clearly the person providing the service, like the bar. If it's Walmart is the one letting people, like, I can't just send someone, like, mail someone cash to India without a lot of trouble these days. It's way easier to just go down to Walmart and be like, hey, swipe my card. Like, they're making it the easiest thing in the world. And I think that's the problem. And they don't care what happens. Like, I get the caveat emptor attitude, but I like regulations and rules that help people from getting fucking ripped off, personally.
Right, but how do you tell?
Yeah.
How do you know that they're not just literally sending money to, you know, their mother-in-law's brother in India.
At the end of the day, it's the same way that how does the bartender tell if they're drunk? You ask a few questions. And it obviously, we're not saying Walmart should ban financial transactions to Asia, but they should at least do the bare minimum due diligence to help at least be part of the solution and not like enabling all this fucking fraud.
That's one of those things.
I'm not a fan of Walmart, and I want to stick it to them.
It's one of those things that's easy to say, but really, really hard to do in reality.
I'd love to get banks on here because I'd love to hear somebody in the banking industry. Like, if you call somebody,
the whole know your customer rules and all that. Yeah.
Like, how hard is it to have that relationship where you can call out a questionable transaction? Like, how do people typically react to that, whether you're looking out for their interests or not? Like, I wonder if it goes this way or people default this way because the reaction tends to be not kind when somebody questions why you're sending money to India.
Don't you tell me what to do with my
money. Exactly. Yeah. It's my girlfriend. Don't lie to me. Or don't. They don't want to ask those questions.
And she's real. She really exists. Yes, right.
No, there is a level of questions that you can ask because of physical presence and you know, like a bank teller. It's like, oh, it's grandma and some shady looking guy, and hey, and you know, she knows grandma, and hey, who is this guy? You know, and start to ask, and you know, you kind of get a little bit of that, you know, are you under duress type questions. There's something there, but you can't do that when it's, you know.
But here's the thing, though. Banks do have that, like exactly what we're talking about. But Walmart is like being a bank, but they're not having to follow those regulations. And they should. They should. When you send money, there should be. I've been in a situation as a caretaker for an old woman who was taken aside in a bank. Like, are you withdrawing this money under duress? We don't recognize this guy. I've actually lived that scenario. And I wasn't offended. I thought it was great. And was applauding them, you know, as being a good bank. And the lady I was with like, yeah, I really like them. And this is one of the reasons. I don't see it as any different as like when a bank calls you up and says, hey, Dan, are you using your credit card in Jamaica at a gas station right now?
You just made an excellent argument there. Yeah. Yeah. Not saying you have to become a bank or rewrite the whole ethics rules, but just like the bare minimum.
You don't have to stop it, but try.
Just ask a question. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I will say this, though, to Bear's point, there was a night auditor at that hotel I used to manage the desk for. Right after I left, he had a scammer get on the phone and convince him he was the owner, convinced him to break open the safe in the parking lot with a rock, take the money to the gas station to deposit it in the Bitcoin ATM. And the gas station clerk was screaming at him, stop it. You are getting scammed. Do not send that cash to India through the Bitcoin ATM. And the guy was like, no, man, it's the owner. He needs it real bad.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can't save people from themselves. You really can't. Yeah. But you should at least have a couple of questions to try and filter out the people that are already unsure.
Yeah, usually any one person interrupting that cycle, like just asking a question, sometimes is enough to kick you out of it, right?
Have you actually met this woman in person, or is she just in email form?
Right. Oh, no, I have her pictures. It's okay.
Yeah. She's real.
Her name
is
Saul.
She sent me her pictures.
We have to do this quickly, otherwise she's running out of memory.
Her landlord's going to evict her from her apartment in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
I have to send her money for the airline tickets.
Oh, my God. Okay. I have a story, Kyle.
Yeah.
Can we have time for one more?
I think we got time for one more, then we should wrap up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So The story is corporate espionage. Yes, we're talking spies. We're talking shady backroom deals.
Ooh, I love a good spy story.
Yeah, yeah. That's what everybody's come to love and expect from me, right? Those gripping narratives.
Shady backroom deals, yeah.
Yeah, shady backroom deals, yeah. Yeah, there you go. It seems that Hormel Foods is suing Johnsonville Sausages and an ex-employee because the employee emailed a bunch of sausage secrets to themselves. And then left the company and then went to work for Johnsonville Sausages.
Dan, do you ever watch the Foods That Made America series on the History Channel? There's like six seasons of it.
I have not, no.
This sounds like something that should be featured prominently on that. So we gotta get a hold of White Boy Rick. Is he still around? Has anybody heard from him lately?
Oh, man, I haven't seen him for a while.
He used to...
I see him on X every once in a while, yeah.
Didn't he used to be involved with Hormel, like as a rep or something? Because I remember he sent me a care package of hot no bean chili when I couldn't find it a couple years ago.
No, I'm sure you can reach out to him.
I wonder if he has any insights into this story. Get our boots on the ground reporter again.
There you go.
Speaking of which, you think Yellow Man ever made it back from China?
Oh, shit, that's what happened to him. That's why we haven't heard from him.
It was a long bike
ride. He got stuck. Yeah. It's a long bike ride. He's still on his way there. I know. He's going to be so shocked when he gets back.
Right.
So does this cat make me evil?
Oh, no.
I'd say it increases your evil quotient by about 20%. Yeah.
Sweet.
I think you just got to be careful of the bigger picture, Bear. Where's this layer you're building?
It's at an undisclosed location, Kyle.
Wait, yeah, like, is it, you know, at least in a populated area that people maybe heard of, or is this out in the middle of nowhere in like Montana or something?
No one can hear your scream.
All right.
Would be very much of a lair if you could.
So does it say what product Johnsonville came out with that this guy helped him create?
No. So the suit says...
Like, is there a new like Hormel like smoked sausage or something? Yeah.
Johnsonville, new Hormel flavored sausage. No, the lawsuit says it accuses Johnsonville and two former Hormel employees of conspiring to, quote, unlawfully obtain Hormel's trade secrets. To continue the quote, the sausage market is increasingly competitive and improper use of confidential, proprietary and trade secret information or wrongful competition or solicitation could cause a manufacturer significant competitive economic disadvantage.
Wow. I did not expect the sausage wars to be so gripping.
Yeah, right? A guy named Rummel was his name. Jeremy Rummel and Brett Sims left Hormel and joined Johnsonville.
Huh. Are they still working for Johnsonville?
As far as I know, the article doesn't say that they lost their jobs. If anything, they need promotions.
So does this the FTC like had ruled not too long ago about non-competes being like unacceptable or like trying to throw them out? Did that stay that way or?
I don't know.
I never saw if that was still the case.
It does seem that way. The one guy, Jeremy Rummel, left Hormel after 25 years and then joined Johnsonville like right away.
Yeah, it sounds like either he didn't have one or they did get thrown out.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Huh. Yeah, let's see if I can get a hold of Rick.
Or he just, you know, he started before they, you know, even thought of doing non-competes. Right.
I think it's funny that he just emailed it to himself.
Yeah.
Couldn't even bother to get a USB drive.
it's harder.
What?
It's harder. Locking down USB drives is easy.
Oh.
Now that's like security 101 in corporate America.
Oh,
there's a nice little checkbox in Microsoft Intune that says block all USB drives.
Oh, wow. They can do that too.
Everybody gets that.
Well, see, I always worked in maintenance. And we always had like dongles and things that we had to use for like activating licenses and stuff. So I think they let us get away with a lot more on our computers maybe than they should have.
Yeah, well, and nowadays there's ways to set up the USB drives so that they can only be, you know, attached, and they're right. encrypted, so they can only be read by corporate computers and that kind of thing. That stuff's not pretty easy.
Future
nowadays.
Sucks. And freedom.
Email is like
stealing our drives.
Way to just send stuff out.
It took my D drive.
Took my drive.
All right. Is anybody else have anything? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dan. I had the cloud threaten me. Apple was like, "Yo, if you don't expand your cloud storage, some of these photos might disappear because you're fucking full."
Google's been doing that to me.
Like,
cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I said, "All right, well, don't save any new photos," is what I thought in my head. But no, it literally, I didn't upload it, and then within a week, half my photos were gone.
Oh wow!
So I paid them. I paid them their blackmail money.
You paid them the ransom.
Did they give you back the stuff they deleted, or they just
no? They were gone forever.
Oh, those bastards!
I lost that pinky, Kyle. They cut that off. I don't get that one back. But I'm still good. I'm good with the gang again.
Try sending a message to Siri and see if maybe she's got it. It might have been used to train her.
I feel so bad. I had like. Tons and tons of photos from like early 2000s, 2005, 2006. Like I took like a 3-week trip to Egypt, and this was like early days of digital cameras. Yeah. So, you know, all my photos were digital, and you know, one of these early cloud photo sites, I'm like, sweet. All right. I just uploaded all my photos to them and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And then a couple of computers later, I'm like, oh crap. Where's those photos at? And I go to the website and it's gone.
See, you guys are just suckers.
The website itself was gone.
I put all my shit on MySpace.
Yeah. MySpace.
All right, folks.
Kyle, am I still in your top 10, Kyle? Am I still in your top 10 friends?
Do I still have the Mafia game on there? I wonder if that's still been collecting energy, if I can go burn through some cases. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for today's episode, fellas.
Saved up.
Please join me in thanking Bear and Dan for joining us tonight. You can do that by clicking on any of those links in the show notes. You can find the website that will eventually populate that has Dan's upcoming book. You'll get me a link once you do
Service
have a working
Unscripted.
Website, right? Oh, okay.
ServiceUnscripted.com.
I'll just put the link in there, and then when it becomes clickable, then people will know.
It's clickable right now. It's just not any useful information as we record this, but it might be useful by the time somebody hears this. So ServiceUnscripted.com.
Well, hang on. Let me check real quick. I just want to make sure
there's
nothing Grok, useful.
Hey, build me a website for Service Unscripted, the book.
Did Grok write that?
That day is coming. That day is coming.
I know, it's almost here.
Hold on. There is a contact list. I mean, there is some useful information on here. It's letting me know it uses cookies, and I can request a call.
Sweet.
Yeah, go ahead. Request a call. See what happens.
I am doing that right now. Oh, it's a call with GoDaddy.
Gotcha.
All right. We'll be back soon with another exciting episode. But till that day, like, share, subscribe, all the things, and have a green week.
Woohoo!
Woo! All right, where's the outro music?
Oh, dang it. Do I have it? So...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.